Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to The Catalyst, another live episode here going out from the Long Beach Area Chamber of Commerce. My name is Stuart Takahara, I'm Vice President of Membership here, and excited to be joined again by Matt Bartos from the Figure Agency. Matt, welcome to The Catalyst again. It's always good to have you.
It's great to be back.
Yeah. And so last time we talked marketing, small business. Today we're going to be talking about branding. Is your brand working for you and what to look for inside of your own business? So I want to start with just for people who don't know, what is branding? What is branding for business?
You know, we sort of describe it the same way for everybody, just as like an entry point, that branding is that it's a distinct message or image and personality of your business, essentially. It's the always on common thread that shapes the customer's perception of who you are and what it is that you do as a business.
So can you give me an example of what it would be like to, like, what is a brand that I would recognize?
It's easy to point to the global ones, right? So
yeah,
Coca-Cola, for instance. And the reason why, actually, I see these as parallels, Jack and Coke, I call it, right? So Jack Daniels and Coca-Cola. Right. So global beverage brands. But the remarkable thing about those brands is just in terms of scope, size, and scale, pretty much anywhere you go in the world, you can come across a Coca-Cola product. Right. And that experience that you have with that Coca-Cola product, the brand experience you have, is sort of insanely consistent. So the experience of what the packaging looks like, the description of what the product is and how you come into contact with it, how it's displayed, the experience of actually consuming it. You can go to any bar in the United States or globally for that matter and find Jack Daniels, which is a remarkable entity of market share and brand experience for sure.
I think of a brand and I see the McDonald's arches or the Nike swoosh, something along those lines, and it means something. Just like status, you have the Louis Vuitton wardrobes or the Coach bags and stuff like that, right? That brand has status. It means something. It tells you when, you know, it's like, oh, I drive a BMW or I drive an Audi or I drive a Ford. Those brands mean something and it represents something.
And that ultimately is the core of what branding is. It's the experience that you as a consumer have. And then it's the job of the business to replicate that over and over again so that you have the same experience and you build upon that, you go down the line.
So those are great examples of like big brands with billion-dollar global budgets. But how does a small business, a little mom-and-pop store, Main Street business, apply these same techniques into their own store or into their own business? What does that look like?
I think the place to start is ultimately the tent pitch, or I call it the tent pitch. So it's the first thing that you're going to come into as a consumer, the first touch on what that brand is. And for a small business, I think it's very important, and I'm going to use this word a lot, but consistency, right? Yeah. It's very important that wherever I come into contact with your brand, you may be a, you know, micro-sized business that, you know, you have a coffee cart in the middle of a corporate center or whatever. But wherever I come into contact with that, I want to know that it's your brand. I want to know that I see the same colors. I see the same logo. I see the same messaging. I see the same product availability, right? If you're offering a product or if you offer a service, the same, you know, you're offering the same services wherever I come into contact with the brand. From a small business standpoint, that consistency is extremely important. If nothing else we say in this conversation, I would go back to that core point of making sure that all the places that your brand exists, wherever your brand presence is, it is consistent in message, in identity, and presentation so that, you know, as a consumer, creates that, those multiple touches create that familiarity. And I know, you know, I start to associate your brand with whatever it is, whatever product you're offering or what service you're offering.
You know, consistency is key. I've always said that just in everything, even when I'm hiring staff. You know, I'd rather have somebody operating at 70%, 100% of the time, as opposed to someone coming in and being 110% one day and 30% the next day and then 45% the day after. That inconsistency and that sense of unknown is actually potentially creating confusion or inconsistent experiences for your customers. And so they never know what they're going to get.
Yeah, I would go a little bit more macro than that, which is, let's use a product description as an example. Okay. So You know, if you're selling products, you whether you have a combination or separate, you know, just e-commerce only or retail and e-commerce or retail or brick and mortar, the product description that you use to describe that should, the language should be the same wherever you see it. Because ultimately, that's the thing that the consumer is trying to purchase. And you're trying to consistently inform their buying information, their buying opinion about it. So, you know, if you describe the product differently on your social platform versus your e-commerce site versus the end cap display that you've paid for and built, you know, in your local market or in a national chain, if you're describing the product that you're trying to sell differently in every place, that's going to create confusion for a consumer. There's going to be like, well, I thought it was this, but now you're saying it's this and all that. And so that is a consistency piece is important.
And not only that, it's going to create confusion for the consumer. But as we move into this age of AI and ChatGPT and LLMs and stuff like that, they're looking for what's called trust signals. Now, these AI bots are looking for consistency through, if you're a Shopify store, from your website, from your reviews, from all these different places, they're looking for a strong, consistent message that is going to increase your trust score, the abilities to be found on AI or even be recommended by AI. So that's more important even now about sending a strong, consistent message, a single strong, consistent message.
I'm glad you mentioned the employee factor to this too, because my description was about messaging and actually printed material, printed words. Mm-hmm. But the same thing happens with what your employees, even if it's only you or you have 100 employees, the same thing applies to them. They need to uphold that brand standard so that when they're describing the products, they're using the same language that I read, right? They're using the same language that Robert is using the same language as Bob, as David, as Stuart, as everybody's using the same language so that, again, you're creating that consistency and I, as a consumer, don't have to work harder in order to get to my buying decision.
So when we're looking at things from a consumer standpoint, we need to move them from a process. So if they've never experienced your brand, your company, you, your services or whatever, you know, it's kind of like window shopping. They're like, well, I don't even know if I want to buy here yet, right? So you have a term for this kind of person.
Yeah, I call it spectators, right? So I'm just looking customers or I'm browsing. Think of it from a retail experience. Often, you know, we've all had it where we've walked into a, you know, retail establishment. Someone asks us if we need help, if we're looking for something, you know, and sometimes we are, sometimes we aren't. But I think spectators are, they're just spectating, right? So they're just looking at your brand. They've come into contact with it somewhere and they're just kind of on the periphery. They may not, more often than not, they may not have a specific need at that moment, but it's important that you establish the brand, or begin to establish the brand at that piece so that if the need arises, you're the one that comes to the top of their mind when it comes to buying that product or that service. Yeah. And I think in terms of how you apply your branding to that spectating customer is that, you know, you can present a problem that your brand has a solution for, right? It can be subtle. The customer may not have a need for it at that moment, but if you present a problem that they're not really thinking about and this product, you know, solves that problem, that's a great place to start to interject that. The other thing to do at that stage is to invite to learn more. So your brand should extend an invitation to come and learn a little bit more about the product. Even if, again, they don't have a need. Now, if you think about it, buying is an impulse, right? And it's a dopamine hit often for people, you know, the retail therapy idea, right? Even if you're buying something practical, there's still a little hit you get from, you know, you may not think of groceries as an impulse buy, but when you go and buy groceries, all of a sudden you'll come across, I don't know, you know, something that looks delicious and it's unique and you want to try it. You get home and you're like, you might forget about it, but later on you come across the package and you're like, oh yeah, I forgot I bought this. I want to try it, right? Are you inviting, you know, these spectators to come and learn more about your product? And I think the third point is to keep them entertained. So, you know, and this is where I think social media marketing comes into play, where you can be a little bit more entertaining in your marketing and your advertising. But, you know, entertain them, provide, you know, perhaps it's a chance to provide something that's a little more creative than just, you know, words on a piece of paper. Give a little bit more personality of your brand there.
So I understand what I'm just looking or a spectator is if I have a retail store, maybe I'm in a mall or, you know, I'm going to that. But what does that look like for like a restaurant? Like, you don't go into a restaurant and say, I'm just looking. You know, you're going into this restaurant because you're hungry. You want food and you've already decided I'm going to eat here. So for that restaurant, what does a spectator or I'm just looking, what does that look like in terms of brand presence and getting a customer from that phase into the restaurant?
I would slightly disagree with your point, only in that as a spectator, if I'm hungry, your restaurant may not be the thing that I'm looking for, right? I may not know what I'm looking for. I just know I'm hungry, right? Yeah. Think of it like a food court analogy, right? In a mall. You've got, you know, 10 different types of restaurants and food concepts that are in there, all these different sounds and smells and sights and, you know, and signage and everything else and pictures of food and images and everything. And you may not know as a spectator, you may not know what it is you want. You just know you're hungry. Like that's kind of a desire. So I think at that point, it goes back to those things I just mentioned from a restaurant standpoint. And depending on the type, food court is a little bit more on the nose. But, you know, if you're thinking in terms of, let's say, a heavy pedestrian area where there's a lot of different restaurants. So you're on, you know, in California here, you're on, what's the main, Belmont Shores, right? So you're on that drag and there's all those restaurants and everything else. And you're looking around thinking, all right, there's an Italian place. It looks kind of cool. Meaning it's got a welcoming environment, you know, the seating looks cozy and interesting. You're with a date perhaps or a significant other and you just want a romantic evening out, right? So you're going to seek restaurants that pitch themselves as being a place for romantic dinners to come to, right?
And that's what you have a separate term. That's what this next group is, the shoppers.
Yeah, like. Shoppers who I think, you know, the I'm looking for, right? So I'm looking for X, Y, and Z. Customers who are actively seeking the type of products or services the brand offers.
I'm
and
looking
most importantly,
for a great date night restaurant. I'm looking for really good Italian food. I'm looking for, they already kind of already moved on to from, I'm just looking, what should we do to, I know specifically what I want to buy. Now I'm trying to find it.
I have a reason to you know, patronize that, right? I have a reason to seek that out. And I think that a really important piece of shoppers is that, and the way to consider shoppers is that they're comparatively shopping. So from a restaurant perspective, it goes back to the example, you know, I was just describing where I'm walking down, you know, through Belmont Shores on that main drag there. And there are, you know, multiple restaurant concepts for me to get into. Or if I'm, let's say I'm trying to buy a gift, there's multiple, you know, places where I can, well, I'm going to compare and contrast brands with each other when I am a shopper, right? Because I'm trying to find value. And the value isn't necessarily, it's not only associated with cost, right? The value can be, yes, this product may be more expensive than the other, but is it more luxurious? Is the build quality better of it? If we're talking about services, like if you're trying to compare to, you know, sort of massage places, right? Well, this place offers the type of massage that I like, and this other place doesn't offer that. Or they both offer the same thing, but this one seems to be a little bit, I just like the branding a little bit more. It feels a little more natural. I want to go to that one. So shoppers, I think you should, you know, when you're trying to attract a shopper who's already in the context of wanting to purchase, you know, how are you presenting your value and separating it from the competition? Right. We do this better because we are this, right? Or we, you know, our products are better because of this. You know, they're more wholesome, they're more natural. We don't use, you know, these bad ingredients, et cetera, et cetera. You know, this is where you have an opportunity to provide details and more education opportunities for your consumer from a messaging standpoint, right? So you're providing a little bit because they're comparative, they're comparing, right? And so if you provide detail for your product, it's a little better than the detail that's being provided, or if any is being provided for another similar product in your category, you're going to, you know, for a consumer that wants to be informed, you have a better shot of, you know, helping them get to their buying decision more quickly. The last piece of that would be, this is a good place to also talk about consumer success stories, right? So if I'm shopping, I'll use the e-commerce as an example. Ratings, like, you know, consumer ratings heavily weigh into that decision from an e-commerce standpoint. Right? How many stars has this product been rated? This brand, how many, you know, or this business, how many stars, you know, have been rated? What are the, you know, we all have, I think, this tendency to want to look at the negative comments first, right? You know, why didn't people like it versus why did so many like it? I think you know, that's when you're trying to attract shoppers from a brand standpoint, these are the things you want to cover.
We're talking with Matt Bartos from The Figure Agency here on The Catalyst, Long Beach Area Chamber of Commerce podcast. So you move from the I'm just looking phase to the I'm looking for phase. And then what happens after that?
Well, at that point, you're as a business, you're getting real close to the finish line, right? And so I'll use an athletic phrase, that you don't want to fumble the ball on the 1 yard line. So if you've talked to spectators, you've converted them to shoppers, now they've compared, now they're comparing you with other products and brands, and you won that competition. So now they're ready to purchase. Now they're buyers, right? They're heading to checkout, as it is, right? You know, consumers who are on your site or at a retail location, and they're ready to spend their money. Which ultimately, that's kind of one of the hardest things to get to from a brand standpoint is, you know, moving a customer to that position where they're comfortable. They know enough about your product or service. They've been educated enough, know what they're getting themselves. They have a sense of what they're getting themselves into, and they're ready to buy it. They're on board.
And so many businesses fail at this most critical step, it seems like.
Yes.
Like you've got your credit card in hand and you're looking around and you're just looking for somebody to like, I'm giving you my money. And they make it so hard sometimes.
Yeah.
To take money, to actually make a sale. It is unbelievable. I think this is, especially in a lot of service-based businesses, I'm thinking bars and restaurants, I'm thinking retail sometimes, where you're just looking around, the line's way too long, and you're like, you know what, I don't want it that bad. You know,
yeah.
And they kind of get up and leave. There's so many times where, at least in my own experience too, it's like, I want this, I want to buy it, I made up my mind, I came here, I drove here specifically for this, and it's like, I give up, you know?
Yeah,
and so many businesses fail at that point.
It's all that hard work that you put into, and it's important to put yourself in this perspective, but all that hard work you put in marketing-wise, attracting that customer, converting them to a shopper, converting them to a buyer, to fumble the ball on the 1 yard line because the checkout experience is poor, right? So, you know, it's very important. I think you should analyze your checkout experience. And when I say that contextually, that just sounds like e-commerce, but really it's, you know, like you mentioned services, right? So from a service perspective, if you're offering services like an agency, right? So we don't have a barcode that we scan per service and we, you know, check you out, right? It's more often you come up with a scope of work, you have an agreement, and then there's an invoice and that invoice gets paid, right? So if you complicate that process and make it difficult to release their money to you, you've handicapped your business massively at that point. So, and the last, and I think most important thing about checkout is deliver on everything you promise. So, because that is the biggest conversion factor towards the last category that we're going to talk about. You have to deliver on the things you promise. If you overpromise and underdeliver as a brand, it's a death sentence. Because ultimately, you are creating a bad experience because you said that your product would do all this stuff, and then the consumer gets it and it does this much, or it doesn't do it effectively, or it, you know, it was misrepresented in its messaging, or, you know, a bunch of different places. And I hope everyone hears this. Like, we are talking about all these different things from these previous steps, making sure that the experience is consistent all the way through. So deliver on everything you promise. Absolute critical step for buyers.
Because when you do that, when you deliver on your promises, what happens to these customers?
These customers become, and this is the golden ticket for a business, these customers become loyalists, right? So they become brand loyalists. You find this a lot in automobile, right? In cars. You know, there are a lot of people who they drive one kind of car, they have a great experience with it, and that's the car they want to come back and buy more. And so that car brand does a lot to incentivize that consumer coming back to buy more and more, right? But I'm back for more customers who've purchased in the past and who have the same need in the future and will purchase again. You know, you want to, from a brand perspective, you have to start looking at it. Is the experience as consistently easy as it was before when they purchased before? Has it become easier? Has it become more convenient? Has it become more enjoyable? From a brand perspective, those are all incentives that you can promote and market to that returning buyer that, come on back. You know, we've made purchasing more convenient, right? We've made, you know, we're offering this promotion for our loyal customers. So it's also a great place to get feedback. Incentivize ratings. Talk to your customers and say, hey, if you really enjoyed the experience you had with this particular product or service, would you give us a rating? You know, here, we'll make it very easy for you. Get feedback from your customers. Use that as your biggest marketing weapon. We talked about, you know, when customers are in their shopping mode, they're doing comparative. And if they start seeing those ratings from positive experiences, that's a really big feather in your cap as a business. Encourage them to come back for more. Remind them of a purchase cycle, right? So if you're purchasing something that runs out after time, right? And you see this, like, the first thing that comes to mind is the razor blades, right? So razor blades go dull. And a lot of these e-commerce razor brands offer replacement, right? And they'll remind you through their marketing tools, their CRM, they'll remind you, hey, come back and buy more, right? Because your blades are probably getting dull by now based on how many times a week you shave, you've told us, right? Come back and buy some more. Here's an incentive. Here's a promotion. Look, we've made it easier. All these things create ambassadors for your brand. It's important to look at customers with success stories of your brand. They're ambassadors. They're your best ambassadors. It's that word of mouth marketing that you just can't buy. You have to, you know, word of mouth marketing is the most effective thing that's out there. And it's only done because that consumer has had a consistent, really positive brand experience from the tent pitch all the way up through the buying experience. It's consistent and they're ready to come back from.
You know, when we look at brand, people think logos, colors, and this, but it really goes deeper down. If you were to spend just a little bit of time working on your brand, meaning quality, consistency, delivering on promises, making sure that entire buying cycle is as smooth and seamless as possible, you will get to that level of developing those loyalists that will start to promote you, start to talk about you, the ones that keep coming back for more. But that is, I think, one of the areas that a lot of people don't focus on. I think a lot of people really just focus on one and not know how that one connects to the next, that connects to the next and to the final product.
It goes, you know, again, back to the first episode, one of the points we talked about was like asking tough questions. So analyzing your customer journey and being really having a critical eye about that and not glossing over things that may be too difficult to deal with. You know what I mean? Like if you notice that you're back to your product descriptions, if they're different on your packaging than they are on your website or wherever, like, and you realize like, oh, that's going to be a lot of work to change that, make that enhance, like change, like acknowledge that change. And if it can't be done right away because you've got other things you have to handle, then make it part of your hit list of like, okay, this is something I need to do to, you know, sort of get my brand more consistent and get it shaped better and make it evolve. You know, those are all kind of just critical pieces. And no business is perfect. No brand is perfect. Sure.
Matt, you were with the Figure Agency. If people wanted to try and reach out to you and get more information about anything that we talked about brand building, the importance of it, how can people reach you?
You absolutely can email me. The best thing to do is it's info@figureagency.com. You know, I'm happy to sit down with you for an hour and you know, just take a look at some of the problems you may be encountering from a brand perspective and offer some advice or consultation in terms of correcting those things.
Matt, thanks for joining us today on The Catalyst. We're really excited you are sharing your expertise and your insight with everybody watching. So thanks everyone for joining us today, and we will see you guys in the next episode.
Thanks so much. Take care.